What an awesome pastor. I don't see him here today, but good that he's back today. I'm so glad that he's back in Jesus' name. How's everyone today? Everyone doing okay? I want you to just look at your neighbor and say, it's good to see you. Just say, good to see you. Good to see you. As we continue standing, I wonder if we can just take out our Bibles. And we're going to be in Job today. We're going to go in Job 38. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Job 38, 1 through 6. Job 38, 1 through 6. And it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth the counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And we're going to be just kind of exploring in Job today, and I want to just leave just this little tidbit. It's from the beginning of that passage, and I just want to leave this with you. When God speaks, when God speaks, when God speaks. I wonder if we can just pray and ask God to speak through us, give us wisdom and knowledge through his word. Can we do that? God, we thank you, God. God, give us wisdom and knowledge through your word. Speak to us today, God. God, we know, oh God, you're going to do great things today. God, we believe, oh God, you're going to do great things today. God, I believe you're going to speak to somebody today. God, I believe you're going to speak to someone today. They may have not heard your voice, oh God, in a while, but you're going to speak to them today. I believe it and I have faith. God, we believe that you can do the miraculous. God, we believe that you can do the impossible. And we have faith. We have expectations that you're going to do something mighty, because you are God and you are God alone, and we give you all glory and all praise and all honor and all praise is due to your name. I wonder if we can just shift this atmosphere right here into an atmosphere of praise and worship. God, we thank you. Come on, God, we thank you. We lift you up high. We lift you up high. May be seated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God is going to speak today. I believe it. God is going to speak today. God is going to speak today. I had a few people that believe that. God is going to speak today. Ooh, God is going to speak today to somebody who hasn't heard his voice in a while. He's going to speak to you today. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. It was a few weeks ago when God pressed on my heart to speak on his voice and when he speaks. And the scripture came to my mind, my sheep would know my voice. And that's in John 10:27. And it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And 28, I will give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And after I was reading this scripture, and it came to my heart, I was reminded of the story of Job. And we all know the story and what he went through. And I was thinking about him, not because of just his suffering, but how he pursued after God's voice and after God's presence. And when God spoke to Job. And so one thing about hearing God's voice, it's something supernatural, but it's not unusual. It's something that everyone can hear, but not everyone will adhere to. It's something that is special, and he has a unique way of communicating to each and every one of us here. And so I just want to encourage someone, whatever season you're going through, whatever struggle, situation, God is speaking. God is speaking to you. And so as we read in Job, Job was a man of much wealth, and he was respected by many. And he lived in the land of Uz, and he had a great family. He had all the flocks. He had all the livestock a man could desire, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 pairs of oxen, and 500 donkeys. Now, I'm not sure how much all that costs, but I just think about how much it costs to buy a cow today, and it's like, I don't know how much, almost 1,000, I don't know. And so I think about the hundreds of cattle that he had. He was a wealthy man. He had all the land. And so it is stated that Job was a man that was perfect and upright, and he feared the Lord our God. And so Job had everything together. It seemed as if everything was okay. Life was good for Job. But one day, Job's faith would be put to a great test. And so as you read in the scripture, God permits Satan to test Job, but tells him, do not touch him. And so soon Job loses all his livestock. All his servants were killed, and a great wind hit the four corners of his son's house, causing it to come down and killing his son and his daughters. But through all of this, Job still worshiped the Lord. And it said, Job in 1:20 and 22, it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, and he worshiped. In 21, it says, and he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Isn't that amazing? And so I wonder how many of us would have that same reaction. You lose everything. Family's gone. Land's gone. Your livestock's gone. Everything is gone. And would we still give God praise and worship? Will we still give God praise and worship, glory and honor? And so I know some of you, we could stub our toe and it's just our day is ruined after that. Or somebody just says something that hits that nerve and like your day is just gone. Like it's just your day is gone. But I believe there's people here that no matter what you're going through, no matter the circumstance, you're going to still worship God. Come on, anybody here? No matter what I'm going through, come on, no matter what I face, I'm still going to worship God. Come on, no matter what I go through, I'm still going to worship God because he's good. Come on, he's great. He's mighty. In Jesus' name. And so as scripture goes on, God permits Satan to test Job a second time and again tells him, do not touch him. And so Job's health was tested. He was struck with boils from the sole of his feet, it says in scripture, to the top of his head, to the sole of his feet. And his whole body was covered with boils. And even his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And so Job was left with nothing. He was left with just nothing. And so Job continues to go through the trials of life. He has three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, who at first appear to be his friends. They were going to be his counselor. They were going to be his go-to. But we soon find out that they weren't really his friends. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, it's so important who we associate ourselves with. It's so important who we associate ourselves with. There's a saying that says, show me your friends now and I'll show you your future. And that is so true. It's so important who we associate ourselves with. And so in chapter 3, Job was in so much pain and agony that he cursed the day that he was born. I wish I didn't, was not born on this day. And so for many chapters and verses, there's a lot of dialogues between Job and his friends. And Job is still faithful to his God. Job rarely complained about his possessions, family, but it was the loss of God's presence that caused Job grief. And if we read in Job 23 and 3, it says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me, and I shall come forth as gold. My foot had held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary of food. And so in Job 26, he talks about the greatness of God. And then later on in 27, he talks about the righteousness of God. And in Job 27 and 6, he said, my righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. How many have just read Job before? You can just raise your hand. You read Job before? How many have ever read Job? You're going through something and you read Job and you're just like, okay, it's not as bad as I thought. It's really not as bad. I mean, I got a flat tire. It's really not as bad as I thought it was. And so I tell you, we have it very well. We have it so good. And so at this point of the story, I asked some questions. I said, okay, I got some questions here. And so what kept Job faithful to his God? Why did Job keep pursuing God's presence? Why did he want to feel his presence? Why did he keep going after God in his voice? Why didn't Job give up? And as I read on and read the beginning of Job, it was because of his relationship with God before all of the trials. And in Scripture, Satan thought that Job served the Lord because of his wealth and of his possessions. But Job didn't serve God because of his possessions as well. He served God because God is God alone, and he is worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. And so God is not so concerned if we hit rock bottom, but he is concerned if we seek after him when we get there. And so it is important that we have a relationship with God. So when we're faced with trials and tribulations and hardships, we have a foundation, we have a rock, we can go to him, we can depend on him. I remember when I was in college, it was like my junior semester. And I remember it was about the end of the semester, and I had about a $3,000-$4,000 balance left over to get to the next semester. And some of the students know, like, if you don't pay certain things, they're just not going to let you go to the school the next semester. And so I was going through this. I was like, oh, God, I need you. I need your help in this situation. I remember it was a Friday night. That week, it was a Friday night, and it was an event. And I just prayed a prayer of faith. And I believe that God could just do something miraculous in this situation. Some of you may think it's a small thing, but $3,000 to $4,000 seems like $100,000 when you're in school. And so I just believed God would work something out. I believed he would do something great and mighty. And so it was that next week. It was early that next week. I worked in the admissions department as work study, and I remember the director came in and was like, hey, I need you to come in my office. And every time your boss calls you in your office, it's just like, oh, man, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I did. And so she called me in her office, and she was like, this is something that's very unusual, and this is something that we don't really do, but we found some extra money, and we're going to apply it to your balance, and your balance is cleared for the semester. Woo! I tell you what, they didn't just find some money. That was my God that worked that out. Come on, if you believe God can do miracles, I wonder if you can just lift up a praise. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, he can work miracles. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for our God. There's nothing too hard for our God. There's nothing too hard for our God. And so Job, after dialogue, going back and forth with his friends, and Elihu, who was later introduced in chapter 38, God finally speaks. In Job 38:1-6, it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkened the counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Where was thou when I lay the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And God goes on revealing his divine role and all that was going on, and how he created the earth, and how the earth was formed, and how creation was brought forth. And on he speaks of his nature. And in chapter 40, God speaks of his power through his creatures. It was Friday or Thursday. I stopped by the church, and I was just praying. And after I was praying, I opened up my Bible, and I was just reading this passage of Scripture, the chapter before, and I was reading, and I was just walking. It was in that back area over there. and I was just walking through the aisles. And as I was walking, I mean, the air was on and everything, but this was very, I don't know, I was telling Courtney about it. I was like, is this God? But as I was reading, my page just flipped really fast. And I was like, whoo, and it startled me. It wasn't like a air just kind of slightly lifted it up and then it flipped over, but my page just flipped really fast and my hand kind of jerked. And it led me to this passage of scripture where God speaks of his nature and God speaks of his power through his creatures. And as I was like, as that happened, I was like, God, is that you? I don't know. God, is that you? And so it was just an amazing feeling. I just started reading about God's creation and how he spoke the earth into existence and how he knows every detail in the universe and how God spoke light into existence and how he spoke the waters to flow and how he spoke and all creation came to light. And out of the dust, he created man and breathed life into his body and how he spoke to Moses and Abraham and how he spoke to Noah and Samuel and David and Paul. And so as I was reading how God was speaking, I was thinking, what makes us think that God can't speak through our situation? Come on, what makes us think that God can't speak through our trial? What makes you think he can't speak through what circumstance you're going through? And so I was reading that. I was just believing God is speaking to his church today. God is speaking to Harvest Ministries today. God is speaking us to reach our communities like never before. He's speaking to us to reach our neighborhoods, our schools, our jobs like never before. God is still speaking. Come on, if you believe that, can we give him praise? Come on. Come on, he's speaking right now. Come on, he's speaking to somebody right here in this moment. Ooh, God, speak to us today. God, we need a word. Somebody needs a refreshing. Ooh, God is speaking. God is speaking. He is speaking to us. It was on Tuesday when we had our small group, our coffee small group. Sorry, I'm telling so many stories. They're just coming to my head. And so it was on Tuesday we had our small group at MSU. It was like a coffee shop right across the street. And as I was sitting there and the others were sitting there, I was just looking at all the students coming in and out. And I was looking out the windows and how the students just walking the sidewalks and just walking into their dorms and just walking all over the place. And then the next day, it was a few students, my wife and I and a few students from MSU, we went and we walked around the campus and we just prayed. And we just prayed for to God to open up doors, Zach, Andrew, and Michelle. And we just prayed that God opened the doors for us to reach students on this campus. And it was after Wednesday service and we prayed. And there was this part of this campus where it was a stage. It was a stage, and they had said that there's other speakers that sometimes speak there, and they have some other events there. And so we just walked around this stage, and there was a grassy area, and we could, I tell you, God was moving, and he was speaking, and he was revealing to us that he's going to work this out. And after we got done praying, one of the students said, I can just see this grass area filled with students. I can just see this area filled with just students that are hungry for God. I can see this area, oh God, with souls being saved and your spirit just falling fresh on these students. I tell you, our schools, this area is a breeding ground for harvest for these universities and college. I tell you, your high schools, your middle schools, there are students that are hungry. There are students that need the word of God. Yes, I know there's 1,000 churches in this city. Yes, I know it's a Christian community, but these students are looking for something more. They're looking for something to fill that emptiness inside of them. They're looking for something more. Jesus' name. I want all the students, just raise your hand real quick. All the students that are in school, raise your hand. Raise your hand high. All the students in school, raise your hand high. I want all the other states, just stretch your hand forth and pray that God uses them in their campuses, use them in their school. Let's pray that God use these students in Jesus' name. God, give them boldness right now. God, give them boldness, oh God, to step out on faith, to reach the students, oh God, to minister to them. God, there's students that are hungry for more. There's students students that are hungry for you. There's students that are crying out. They're tired of the drugs. They're tired of using their friends. They're tired of everything that they've worked out. But God, you're going to do something great, and we believe it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. I believe it. God's going to do something in our schools. I believe it. And so at the end of the story in Job, going back to Job 42:6, Job repents at the fact that he forgot how great God is. And God restores Job's fortunes. And the Lord blessed him with more than what he started with. And God blessed him with a family. And Job lived a full life because he was faithful to God, and he had a relationship with God. He built a relationship with God before all the trials, all the tribulations. He built a relationship with God. And so what can we learn from this story of Job? I always like to just take some applications from the Word. Like I just said, Job had a strong relationship with God. Job 27:3-4, it says, "All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." And I believe in every situation, he was going to give God glory and praise. And to build a relationship, it takes communication. It takes prayer. Communication, it takes you talking, and it takes you listening. And it takes a time. It takes intimate time for you to get by yourself. It's not your mom's not going to do it. Your pastor's not going to do it. It's going to take you and God. And you're going to have to spend time in your prayer closet and get close with him, and he will speak with you. Some people may be like, "I don't know. How do you know if he's speaking?" We all know our voice, and also the enemy is always going to lie, always going to lead you to destruction. But I promise you, if you spend time with him, he will speak to you. I got a few people. If you spend time with him, he will speak to you. Ooh, I believe that. I believe that. What else we can learn from Job? In spite of the situation, Job still worshiped God. At the end of verse 1 and 20, after everything, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. In sad times, he worshiped. In good times, he worshiped. And because he did, in sad times, I'm going to worship. In good times, I'm going to worship. And when it gets hard, I'm going to worship. When it gets hard, I'm going to worship. And so he still worshiped God. Jesus' name. Job also, his faith and his trust and his hope was in God. And so Job 13:15-6, it says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. And he also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him." Nothing is going to stand before him, before my God and me. Nothing is going to stand before my God and me. And so that's what he proclaimed. And so we may not understand what he's doing. We may not understand how he's working. But put your trust and faith and hope in God. Amen. And so we can learn from Job is God speaks to us. God speaks to us. In Job 23:10, it says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And so it doesn't record, I don't know if I read it, but it doesn't record if God spoke to Job before all of that happened. And as I was reading, I wonder if God was speaking to Job, but he couldn't hear his voice with his friends and all the other stuff that was going on. And so I was just thinking, I don't know if anybody else thinks like that when they study the Bible. I don't know if it's just me, maybe it's me. That's just how I am. I just have a lot of questions and I think about things. And I think that's okay. I mean, it's a little silent. I'm sorry. Is that okay to ask questions and wonder how things work and how does this happen? I think that's how you learn. Amen? Amen. And so we may not understand, but keep your faith and trust and hope in God, and God speaks to us. And so lastly, God is always for us. In Job 19:25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And so the thought of a covering from God and the angels is just an amazing feeling. I don't know about you, but knowing that God has our back and he's for us, that is an amazing feeling that we already have the victory, Do we realize that? We already have the victory. That's just an amazing feeling. We're guaranteed victory. We're guaranteed victory. And so as I was reading through this story of Job and his relationship with God, it just brought me to today's time. I want to use, Andrew, come here for a sec. So this is Job right here. This is Job. Kenan, come here real quick. And I just want you to stand right here and you can face this way. You don't have to move. And this is God. Kenan, you're going to play God. I want you to stand right here. And so this is how it is. This is God. He's always by our side. This is Job. This is us today. God is always by our side. But it's so important that we do not let things hinder us from God's plan and God working in our life. And so as distractions come, let's not put God back here. Oh, well, this person says something and I just deserve to be angry and I'm just going to sit in this anger and unforgiveness and bitterness, and we put God back here. Oh, I'll just hang out with these friends just a couple of times. It's not, I mean, they may be drinking, they may have smoked, I don't know. They're just, it's fine. I just fine. And we put God back here. And then we're just at a point, oh, God, I just can't. It's just so hard. I don't know what to do, God. I just don't know what to do. I just want to go here, but I know you're telling me not to, but it's just hard. That's how I'm going to learn. I have to learn somehow. And we put God back here. Oh, there's just so much going on in the church. There's so much going on in this situation. And I just can't keep my mind straight because just of all the situations that's going on. And we put them back here. And each time we make all these excuses and these distractions, we keep putting God back here. And to us, God is all the way back here. But in reality, God is right here by our side. He's right here. Thank God. I wonder if we could give God praise for that. Woo! God, we thank you for being on our side, oh God. God, we thank you, God, for your protection, oh God. God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you. So some of you may ask, but I've never heard his voice. I don't hear his voice now. It's been months. I don't know if God is still speaking to me. Trust me, I've been there. I have been there in those moments where I just don't know what God is doing. I don't know. I haven't heard him. I just don't know. I've been there, but it's in those times when I get in my prayer closet. It's in those times when I get in the intimate spot and just worship the Lord. That's in those times when he speaks to me. It's in those times when I just get alone with him that I feel him near, and he's right there by my side the whole time. It's in those times where I just consecrate and surrender those things that are hindering his plan in my life. It's in those times where I know he's there by my side. And so I believe God is speaking today. He's speaking through suffering. He's speaking through pain. He's speaking through all of our circumstances, our struggles. He's speaking. He's speaking. And if you're not going through anything, he's still speaking to you. He's still speaking to you. He's still speaking to you. I wonder if we can just stand. I wonder if we can stand. In Jesus' name. I wonder if we can just lift our hands and let's just ask God to speak to us. Let's just ask God to speak to us. Ooh, God, speak to us, oh God. Speak to someone in this situation, oh God. God, someone hasn't heard your voice in a long time. Speak to them right now, God. God, I pray your will, God, I pray. Come on, let's continue lifting that up, God. Come on, I wonder if the prayer warriors would just start praying right here. God. Oh, I wonder if the prayer warriors would just start praying in this moment right here. Ooh, God's speaking, oh God. Break down every wall, oh God, that we've put up to not allow you to work in our lives. Break down every wall, every stronghold, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, every hand should be lifted. Every mouth should be open in this moment. Come on, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you are filled with the Spirit, if you are baptized in Jesus' name, I wonder if you can lift a prayer up in this place right here. Come on, if you believe that God can do miraculous, if you believe that God is speaking, I wonder if you can lift your voice in this moment. I wonder if we can give praise for that word. Still moment, God still can speak. In the small, still moment, God can still speak. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Whatever you go through, whatever you're facing, God is still speaking. God is still speaking. One more time, I wonder if we can lift the praise to our God. Can we do that? Come on, there's a prayer in somebody that needed to let out. Come on, there's a praise in someone that they need to let out in this moment. Come on, don't hold it back. Come on, don't hold it back. Let it out. Come on, let that praise out. Come on, let that prayer out. Hallelujah. Ooh, it's a great feeling that God is on our side. God is on our side. Let us come back and get ready to worship and praise the Lord at 1 p.m. God is going to do great things. I believe it. Do you believe it?